south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came up to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, today let's get very politically incorrect again. Don't we like that? I think we'll devote some time now to guns, knives, cops, and law enforcement in Latin America. And why those topics, you might ask? Well, that's because so many gringos, expats, and wannabes want to know if he can live free and armed in Latin America, since most astute first world people know how quickly a free country can turn into a police state. At least that's what so many gringos, expats, and family members even have been telling me what's happened in the United States since 9/11. And I'm not going to go on an Alex Jones type rant, whatever that is, because I don't really listen to him. I've only heard him once or twice in my life, and not that I don't like or don't agree with what he's saying. It's just that there's something about his voice that grates on me. Sorry about that, Alex Jones fans out there. And I figure my voice probably grates on a lot of people too, but that's life, huh? And why do I even mention Alex Jones? Because occasionally I do get emails from people who mention him, and they wonder what radio people I happen to listen to. Well, as I might have said before, there's really three people I listen to on a regular basis. Richard Martin, Gary Null, and John B. Wells of Coast to Coast AM Radio. That guy's not only absolutely fearless, he's smart, witty, doesn't suffer fools, and cracks me up every time. And by the way, the main man on Coast to Coast AM, his name is George Norrie. I just can't listen to that guy's mindless babble. If you like listening to unscientific, intellectual lightweights, well, then he'll be your cup of tea. And not that I'm anything of a heavyweight, but I can certainly recognize when a media host dumbs down his show to gain a wider audience. So in that respect, the guy's a huge success. I guess it's just that I've had too many hard science courses to ever stomach shows about reptilians, shadow people, and astrology. Now, I'm flexible enough to know that anything's possible. Like, for example, there is a 1 in a trillion chance. Politicians will stop lying, Congress will dissolve the Federal Reserve, Social Security will be solvent, and the U.S. dollar will be backed by gold. But there's about as much chance of that happening as me finding Bigfoot watching the Kardashians in my basement, which could never happen because I don't have a basement. Oh yeah, where was I? Guns, knives, cops, and law enforcement in Latin America. I can't tell you how many emails I get from people asking about that stuff. So anyway, to put it bluntly, lots of gringos and expats want to know if Latin American countries can ever turn into Big Brother states. In other words, are the frogs slowly boiling in the Latin American waters too? Well, for one thing, we have a couple of precedents. One's called Cuba, a totally failed Big Brother state in economic ruin. And now we have two more nearly totally failed states in Venezuela and Argentina. They tried their Latin versions of Big Brother and, well, their currencies and economic systems are being destroyed. A Latin version of what's happening up in the first world, right? But what about the more stable and organized Latin American countries like Costa Rica, Panama, and Chile? Definitely gringo wannabe countries, dead set on trying to become first world. And when I talk about gringo wannabes, I'm talking about their governments want to be like the U.S. government. You know, high taxes, giant, bureaucratic, inefficient state institutions and all. Well, it's true. Costa Rica, Panama, and Chile do have governments that are expanding like cancer. Even so, the Big Brother system as we know it is only a dim fantasy in those countries. Because you see, as these Latin governments expand, they do become a big drag on their own economies. So as bureaucracies bloat and taxes rise, more and more people and businesses find ways to evade taxes. They try like hell to get out of the formal economy, the tax-paying economy, and slip into the informal gray economy. And since their version of Big Brother is so inefficient, up to a third of the economy can be off the books. Now, something like that just can't happen in the U.S., since Big Brother and all the alphabet agencies are keeping track of everyone. Up there, you get caught in the informal economy and you're going to the slammer. Whereas down here, even in the somewhat gringoized countries of Panama, Costa Rica, and Chile, tax evasion is one of the three national sports. Can you name the other two? One, of course, is soccer. They call it football. And the other? Infidelity. And why is that? Well, that's because the legal system hasn't matured to the point where a woman gets her fair share during a divorce. And when that happens, I guarantee the infidelity rates will drop like a rock. It's my guess we're looking at a 5 to 10 year lag time on that. And it's not that the laws aren't in place. It's just that in a heavily macho society like Latin America, there are a dozen ways for a guy to avoid that eventuality. And the enforcement, when there is enforcement, is very spotty. Now you see, down here, when a Latin guy suspects a divorce is coming, a guy with assets prepares for the event by divesting himself of all those assets, getting them out of his name, putting them into the names of his kids and brothers and sisters, as well as burying them in SA corporations. And guys with real money often just transfer all their stuff offshore or create a few trusts. So when the divorce comes, there are little or no assets to divide. And since Latin America is such a macho society, even with the wealthiest of married Latin couples, the man generally handles all the finances and she knows little about them. And by the way, if a guy in the States played those kind of shenanigans, you know, shifting assets in and out of corporations and stuff right before a divorce, making certain things disappear, well, the woman's divorce lawyer would be all over that stuff right out of the gate. He can get records of all financial activities. And down here in Latin America, it's good luck and bad news for the woman because there's so many loose ends and she just can't get a hold of that stuff. So think back how it was 35 or 40 years ago in the States when a couple went through a divorce. Back then, most women got screwed too. And if you're old enough to remember back then, divorce rates in the States were way down too, compared with today, that is. Okay, but let's get back to guns, knives, and law enforcement. Speaking about all that stuff, except for the gringo tourist trail countries like Costa Rica, Mexico, Panama, and those higher tax gringo wannabe countries like Argentina, Chile, and Brazil. Yes, Brazil, we talked about that in a past show. Anyway, one can think of most Latin American countries like a Mayberry version of USA back in the 50s and 60s. You know, when Barney Fife had a gun, but he only had one bullet. And he kept that one in his pocket, not in his gun. Let me explain. Now, except for some of the countries I just mentioned, in the other 14 or 15 countries in Latin America, the police cannot come into your home without a search warrant. It's not at all like up in Boston or Cleveland, where you'll hear a cop say, "Geez, I heard a cry for help." Then he and his buddies proceed to kick in your front door and cuff the whole family. That stuff does not happen down here in Latin America. Well, maybe in Mexico. Not only that, cops in Latin America do not get instant warrants by request over the cruiser radio. In fact, most cop cruisers don't even have working radios. Oh, they came standard all right, but usually after 6 months or so, they don't work or they've been stripped for parts. And if you don't believe that, all you've got to do is go to the police graveyard in any big Latin city, and you'll see that statistic that I mentioned on a past show, that after a police department takes possession of a brand new cruiser, more than 50% of them will be wrecks and in the junkyard within a year and a half. And the police radios, well, they never make it that long. So without cruiser radios, the cops generally use their own cell phones, and they pay for their own calls. Yeah, that's right. They pay for their own calls. And that's why, for example, recently a gringo friend of mine got in a car accident. And when the cops showed up, actually they were only about a block away. That's why they showed up. The cop actually asked my gringo buddy if he could use his phone to make a couple of calls, since he had no minutes left in his own prepaid phone. Oh, and that's why, by the way, sometimes you'll drive past a public phone and you'll see a cop cruiser parked in front of it. Why? Well, that's because the cops are using the public phone because it's much cheaper per minute than using their own cell phones. Now, about the cops getting a warrant down here. They need very good evidence of a violation of the law to get one. And they have to go in front of a judge and make an appearance in court. And remember, most cops in Latin America have about an 8th to 10th grade education and don't even know 20% of their own police rules and regulations. And you can see that by the way the cops themselves routinely break traffic laws and how when you see them stopped at a red light or parked on the street, you can see that people are committing all kinds of petty violations within spitting distance, like urinating in the street, tossing litter out the windows, going the wrong way down a one-way street, vehicles passing with busted windows and broken lights, people walking from car to car selling obvious contraband, like pirated DVDs and even stolen gallons of gas. Which, by the way, in that case, cops will let a guy slide as long as occasionally they give up a gallon or two for the police cruiser. Tit for tat, you know? Then there's that big social problem of 8 and 10-year-old kids skipping school and begging money right on the streets. So there's all that, and much more, staring cops right in the face daily at nearly every street corner, yet they ride around when they have gas and do nothing. Now, on that subject of how uneducated and untrained most cops are, In the last few months, in big Latin American newspaper op-ed pages and on television reports, journalists have been revealing the unsurprising news that most cops actually mess up or destroy crime scenes. They just kind of lumber in like bulls in a china shop. And when there's a major felony being investigated, they step on things, move stuff around, touch things without gloves, and use improper gathering techniques. Thus, in most cases, they totally contaminate the evidence, which is why in Latin America, felony convictions are running around 10 to 15% of all cases. And Latin police forces solve less than 5% of all murder cases. And like one well-known Latin reporter said, when it comes to felonies and murders, it's like we don't have any police force at all. Now, of course, they're not doing that on purpose. It's just that cops down here go to a ragtag police academy that seems no more organized than a Boy Scout jamboree. And most of them, by the way, enter the academy without even knowing how to use a computer. They don't even know how to turn one on. All right, so what about those flimsy probable cause excuses that cops and government agents up north use to violate your rights? Well, the good news is that kind of probable cause stuff only happens in the States and Europe, not in Latin America. And like I said, it's difficult to have a search warrant issued here, so if the police stop your car for any reason, you can refuse to let them search it. Then you can just call your lawyer, wait till he comes, and then let them search the car, if your lawyer lets them. Or if you don't want to call your lawyer or don't have one, you can let them look in your trunk and glove box and stuff. And don't worry about the rumors you've heard that cops plant evidence. Unless, of course, you're in Mexico. Now, I'm talking specifically off the Gringo Tourist Trail. However, anything goes with the cops and the authorities when there's a lot of gringos around and gringo dollars, like in Costa Rica, for example. In fact, I have heard stories of cops planting drugs on gringos in Costa Rica, not to actually take you down to the police station and charge you, but to negotiate a nice big bribe when they pull you over. Because, you see, the fact is, it doesn't do a cop any good to plant evidence if he can't make money off of it. And he's not going to make a dime if he takes you down to the police station and books you. Yep, that's what the gringo dollar does to crooked cops on the tourist trail. And generally, when a gringo's in a foreign country and he finds planted drugs in his glove compartment, he'll pay just about any bribe on the spot to get out of it. However, I've never ever heard that happen once to any gringo off the gringo tourist trail. Now, I'm not saying that if you get pulled over off the gringo tourist trail, a cop won't ask you for a small donation, which is really a bribe, which you can often negotiate down to 20 bucks or so. And what'll happen if you don't give him a donation? Well, sure, sometimes he'll let you go, but other times he might find something wrong with your papers. And of course, there's no way to argue that with the guy. Even if your Spanish is halfway decent, he could come up with some kind of thing you could never refute. And if your papers are truly in order, and you know it, he won't give you a ticket, because he can't. But he can certainly waste your time by keeping you there an hour or so. You get the picture. Sometimes it just depends on if you have more time than money, or vice versa. And again, look for much bigger bribes if you're driving around in Costa Rica, Mexico, or Panama, etc. In fact, these days I hear that cops in Mexico are asking for a donation of around 300 bucks, not chicken feed. And even then, sometimes they'll take your smartphone. Now, about car searches, and I'm talking off the gringo tourist trail again. Anyway, the cops will generally be very polite and request a search when there's an emergency roadblock. And that doesn't happen very often at all. In fact, I think it's only happened to me like 5 times in the 20-some years I've been down here. And that means, of course, a complete roadblock where they stop every car. And what's that all about? Well, they're doing that to try to catch some fleeing felon or a guy that shot a cop. Or they're trying to solve some big hairy local problem that's out of control. And I remember one time driving through El Salvador when earlier that morning it was on the news that someone kidnapped an asshole politician and his jerk kid. Oops, did I say a-hole politician? Sorry about that. I hate redundancies, don't you? The dirty sphincter part is generally understood. Anyway, if I remember, they kidnapped his kid and his mistress too. So that screwed up traffic for about 4 hours. Now, the more frequent roadblocks that you see in Latin America are just a bunch of cops standing alongside of the road next to an outside lane of traffic cones that you're supposed to pull into if you get fingered. So there'll be the usual gaper's block so things slow down into a little bottleneck while one of the cops fingers someone, maybe you, to pull over. Now, note that you'll get pulled over a lot if you have a big SUV with very dark tinted windows. Totally legal down here. In fact, you could paint your windows with black paint if you want. Nobody cares. For that matter, you could have a car or a truck with absolutely no glass in the windows at all. In fact, I've seen a few vehicles like that myself. Nope, not legal according to the books, but nobody cares and nobody's pulling them over. But you got to admit, stuff like that makes for an excellent photo op for the folks back home. Because if you just tell them about it, they'll never believe it. So anyway, that's a good reason why you should be smart and drive a nice, unobtrusive, slightly used model. Not a tank like a Tahoe, Porsche, Cayenne, Mercedes, or Beamer SUV. Then you're going to be a target and get pulled over quite a bit. So you might get flagged down on a routine roadblock like that. That's the usual Latin way to pull people over, even if you are driving an average run-of-the-mill car. That can happen. The cops almost never creep up behind you and hit the cherries and pull you over. In fact, I can't say I've ever seen a cop chase someone like that. Even if you have a big, bad-looking SUV with totally black windows, that's not reason enough to pull you over while you're driving. However, you will be a target at those spot-check roadblocks. Now, if you do have one of those big, hoggy SUVs, and the cops do finger you and pull you over at one of those spot checks, they'll assume by that big-ass car that you're carrying a gun, since many guys with pretentious cars do. And though most guys never took a shooting lesson, or know the first thing about gun safety, and barely know which end to point the thing, it is a macho society, so there are a lot of guns down here. And for that matter, 98% of the population that drives never took a driving lesson either. Anyway, if you're driving a big phallic symbol and you get pulled over, first thing when you roll down your window, the cop will ask, "Porta armas?" Which means, "Are you packing heat?" Again, it's "Porta armas." To which you can say yes and show them your gun and permit if you have one. And if you have a gun, you better have a permit, or they'll take your gun and you'll never get it back. Along with that, you'll get a fine and you'll spend a day at the local police station with your lawyer holding your hand too. Which is another reason why one of the first things you do when you come down here to Latin America is to establish a personal relationship with a lawyer. And when I say if you don't have a permit, you won't get your gun or your guns back, I don't mean the cops will confiscate it and put it in a box with a number and stick it in an evidence room somewhere. What I'm saying is, more likely it'll just disappear without a trace. And once you've jumped through all the legal hoops to get it back, it'll be more than likely that when you go back to retrieve your gun from the authorities, they'll look at you and say, "What gun?" Now note that if you're one of the gringos and expats who don't speak Spanish very well at all, perhaps you only know the words beer, bathroom, and toilet paper, which, believe me, is a good start. Anyway, if you're off the gringo tourist trail and your Spanish really sucks, in a way, you've actually got that gringo advantage again. When dealing with cops, anyway. Because then you could use the "I'm a clueless gringo" technique. And it'll work almost every time. Although I don't use the dumb gringo technique much at all myself, it's a great default position even if you do speak some Spanish. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I've heard stories from gringos and expats telling me that when they get pulled over at one of those roadblocks and the cop starts asking questions, when they say "no hablo Spanish," that's the best phrase, you say, "No hablo Spanish." Then, more times than not, the cop will just wave you on through and move on to the next car. Because even if he was intending to get a donation or a bribe out of you, when a gringo is completely Spanish illiterate, and remember, I'm talking when you're off the tourist trail again, and the cop is completely English illiterate, which is usually the case off the tourist trail too. He just knows it's futile to get some kind of donation or bribe out of you, since no matter what he tries to say, there'll be a total communication breakdown. Now, as for guys like me and expat Eddie, we've been down here so long that we feel like we just have to communicate with these cops and authority figures in Spanish. But in reality, sometimes it's just better to play dumb. Now, of course, I'm emphasizing off the tourist trail here because on the tourist trail, almost everyone speaks a little English. So if you play the dumb gringo there, you fall right into their hands. There's nothing worse than a cop that speaks just enough English to scare you. And by the way, that's the problem you'll find with almost all cops in Mexico. The dumb gringo act just doesn't work there. However, years ago when I actually was the stupid gringo and didn't play the act, I was that dumb gringo act. I can remember a few times being pulled over at one of those roadblocks, off the tourist trail again, and when the cop saw I spoke only English, he was just so happy to encounter a gringo from the first world that he started talking about Miami and Florida and Michael Jordan. At least those were the English words he used that I happened to catch. The rest, I wasn't so sure. Then he scared the hell out of me when he started unbuttoning his shirt. But what he was really trying to do is just show me that he was wearing a Chicago Bulls t-shirt under his uniform, obviously his prized possession. And then he proceeded to tell me in the 25 words of English that he knew about his successful cousin, I think his name was Gonzalo, in Miami, who had achieved the sueño americano, which is the American dream. That's sueño americano. And of course, that's something that we gringos know doesn't exist anymore. Anyway, his cousin Gonzalo owned a window installation business. And to impress me, the gringo, even more, the cop threw in the fact that cousin Gonzalo had been to Disney World many times. Muchas veces. Many times. So, to make my own favorable impression and act impressed, I nodded and smiled. I mean, what else are you going to do when faced with a situation like that, right? Anyway, I played along with him. And yes, my authentic dumb gringo act worked because he just smiled and let me go on my way. Promising him, of course, that I'd say hi to cousin Gonzalo if I ever ran into him. And I'm not kidding. Most Latin Americans have no concept just how big the U.S. is, and they think it's much like their own country. And in that case, way back when, I was in Costa Rica, which had a population at the time of about 3 million people. And back then, there were some small towns there that actually were off the tourist trail. But forget about it now. And when you're in a country that's only got 3 million people, if you hang around long enough, you're bound to run into the same faces once in a while. So with that cop, a guy with a very narrow vision of the world, you can see where he was coming from. And as for cousin Gonzalo, well, I doubt he's ever going to get a chance to install my windows. And did I mention that every Latin country has two or three different kinds of cops? Generally, the regular beat cop and cops in cruisers are called Policía Nacional Civil, which means the civil or national police. Those are the guys I've been talking about so far. The guys that have guns and have to buy their own bullets. Then you have the transit cops. And logically, they're called Policía Tránsito. Tránsito. The word transit with an O on the end of it. And the transit cops are a completely different animal from the national cops. They have no guns or bullets and even fewer cruisers, but they have nice uniforms. And miracle of miracles in macho Latin America, in some countries, 25% or more of all transit cops are women, as opposed to the national or civil police, where only maybe 5% are women. And man, do those women cops down here take abuse from the male cops. From what I've heard from insiders, the sexual harassment of women cops by male cops is monumental. Not to mention, in some Latin countries, women cops get paid less. So again, it's all about the lag time, because that's just what happened back in the States in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Same kind of problem, sexual harassment and lower pay than the males. So I expect in 5 to 10 years, things kind of level out here, too. But in the meantime, women cops have no recourse and no choice but to take it or quit. Anyway, in the medium and large Latin cities, you see these traffic cops everywhere, since civil engineers, if you can call them that, have designed the city streets so horribly and so haphazardly that there are daily epic bottlenecks everywhere. Not to mention, people are always running red lights and making illegal turns, passing where it's prohibited, and worst of all, quite a number of stop-and-go lights are just non-functional. So you see these uniformed transito guys and gals all over the place, directing the traffic by hand. And not that they have any method to their madness. In fact, most of the times they just make the bottlenecks worse, but at least they're out there trying. Now, the nice thing about these traffic cops, as far as we're concerned, is that they only can give out tickets for traffic or vehicle equipment violations. And, of course, improper paperwork like an expired license. However, since this is Latin America, they almost never give out tickets for any kind of vehicle equipment violations at all. Because if they did, it would be like visiting the Twilight Zone. There'd be no cars or trucks at all on the roads. Except, of course, for vehicles that us expats own. And by the way, that's why Latins prefer buying cars and trucks from us gringos. Because they know we keep our stuff in better condition than any of the local Latin folks do. So anyway, traffic cops give tickets out for traffic violations and equipment violations. Yeah, right. But again, they won't pull up behind you with their cruisers and flash the cherries and pull you over. That doesn't happen. For one, because they have so few cruisers compared to the national police. Instead, they'll set up their own transit cop roadblocks, just like those roadblocks I mentioned the national police set up, and flag down about 1 in every 100 cars. Now, it's rare that they'll be looking for vehicle equipment violations. What they're really looking for is the sticker that proves you paid your yearly license fee. It's not about enforcing safety regulations or helping to keep an up-to-date vehicle fleet on the road. It's about seeing if you paid your damn vehicle taxes. And what do you get for paying those taxes? Absolutely nothing. Zilch. Now, like up in the States, they have a huge gas tax on every gallon. And does that tax go to maintenance and road improvements? Again, that'd be a no. Instead, of course, it's going into some fat-ass politician slush fund. So, what else is new, right? Anyway, when you're pulled over by the transit cops, they'll ask for a driver's license to make sure it's current, but will nearly always let a gringo slide on that point, even if your license is long expired, provided you have a gringo license. That's the gringo advantage again. Because you see, when you're off the gringo tourist trail, Latin cops can't make head nor tail of gringo licenses. Your gringo license is basically like a get-out-of-jail-free card or a joker in a deck of cards. Cops off the tourist trail are more fascinated by it and the state you come from than their interest in the actual numbers and the data on it. Like expat Eddie always says, your license is kind of like a VIP pass, and so is your American passport. I'm talking down here in Latin America, that is, because up north, your U.S. passport and a buckle barely get you a cup of coffee. Take, for example, expat Eddie. He had a long-expired Texas driver's license and was still driving on it when it was 5 years expired. And at every police roadblock, he'd pull it out and the cops would buy it. Of course, that was a while ago, and now he's got a license issued from a Latin country, which will remain nameless. But wouldn't you know it, he still keeps that old Texas one tucked away in his wallet as a backup. And here's another thing. If you get pulled over at one of those transit cop roadblocks, they're not going to ask you a lot of probing questions, like the cops in the first world are notorious for doing. They won't ask you, where you going? Can I look in your trunk or your glove compartment? Do you have any cash money? How much? Do you have weapons or anything else we should know about? You'll get none of that third degree with a traffic stop. Normally, with transit cops, you won't even have to put on the dumb gringo act. The fact is, if you break some traffic law, like make an illegal turn or go the wrong way down a one-way street, and by the way, it's extremely unlikely that you'll get stopped for that. But even so, when a transit cop sees you're a gringo, he'll give you a pass, figuring you don't know how to read the signs. Which always makes me laugh because 90% of the time, there won't be any signs. Now, if you do get a ticket, and in Latin America, in the medium and large cities and in tourist areas, they give a lot of parking tickets. Then, if you don't speak much Spanish, in that case, you just contact your lawyer and he'll send someone down from his office to pay it. But not to worry, because parking tickets are so damn cheap down here, you won't believe it. Maybe 10 to 20% of what you're used to paying up in the States. And get this. Every municipality has parking ticket amnesty days. So even if you don't pay the ticket within the allotted time before late penalties are added, those penalties will get wiped and won't apply. Whoops, I'm bumping up towards the end of the show now, so we'll have to finish this next time.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture.